That's Japan's blood type. Now, I know a lot of you out there are listening to this and thinking, oh, isn't Japan interesting? Oh, all these little tidbits, isn't it weird? Oh, I bet living in Japan is like riding a Kirin to the Shinto temple every day to eat my fill of pocky. And I'm here to tell you that that's not necessarily true. That it is weird, but weird is not always good. Case in point, Japan's blood type theory of personality. Now, if you're like me, at some point in your life, you were playing Street Fighter 2. And you notice, when the little bios pop up, that they would list people's blood types. As if I was going to have to find a donor when Ryu gets lupus. But that's not the case. The reason that they list this is because in Japan, they believe that blood types in some way dictate your personality. Similar to astrology, but with a genetic foundation. The origins of this goes back to around 1901 when they discovered blood types. Not Japan, the world. Not giving Japan credit for that one. This idea became popular by a certain group in Germany called the Nazis, who believed that they were superior because of their superior blood types, or that was one theory that was getting tested. This idea eventually migrated to Japan, where the military decided, hey, it'd be fun to try to breed a race of super soldiers. This, of course, didn't pan out. It got popularized again in the 70s by this quack doctor who, he loves it. He loves blood types. Now, the problem with this is that it's just a highly rarefied form of racism. Both of his parents are type O, so he's going to be type O. So that means he's going to be arrogant and aloof. What kind of country does this, you might ask? Well, that's Japan, squiddly boodly boink.
Hi, Aaron and Noah.
Hi, Aaron and
hey
Noah.
Guys, it's Faraday.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, Aaron and Noah.
Faraday.
Hi, Aaron and Noah. Hi, Aaron and Noah. Happy anniversary.
Happy birthday anniversary.
It, you know, it's,
yeah.
Shut up! Go away! Hi, Aaron and Noah. Happy first year anniversary.
Happy first year anniversary.
You know,
I can't believe
it's
here,
but I guess you guys are here.
Alright, hello and welcome to Ninja Consultant Show.
Wait, are we starting?
Yes. Hello and welcome to Ninja Consultant Show 30.
Show episode 30, the big 3-0.
The most depressing show ever.
Why?
Because we're both in terrible moods, because for whatever reason, like, we had our audio so working and now it's really not.
So this show is going to sound terrible.
Oh yeah, it's going to sound like shit. And Noah's really annoyed. So
Aaron's really annoyed.
So
she's the one who's annoyed.
So now is an excellent time to do listener feedback. So
cha-chong.
We can be angry with people. Oh, but there are two new segments that I somehow offered to people.
What?
Yeah, I said that I would let Eriday do a segment.
What?
And that I would let Doink-chan do a segment.
Doink-chan?
Doinkies. Remember she wrote us some email?
OMFG.
And I was like, you can...
Yeah, I remember.
So which should we play one of the segments first in the show or
sure.
So Doink-chan runs anime reviews on themanime.com or something. I'll put a link in the show notes. But she proposed that she would do a segment reviewing shoujo. But in this segment she mostly just talks about what her qualifications are and how she started watching anime. Her friend made the song.
Boink, 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 boink.
Welcome to Doinku no Ya! I'm your host, Doink-chan, a reviewer from Them Anime Reviews at www.themanime.org, and this is my new segment on the Ninja Consultant podcast. The aim of this segment is to showcase lesser known series that you should see and that I really like. Things, series that are obscure, series that have been overlooked, series that were once popular but faded out eventually, those kinds of series. I'm mainly going to be focusing on shoujo series, but there are some shonen anime that I really like as well. I'm also going to be showcasing some old school series from the 70s and the 80s in segments to come. Anyway, my background in anime is that in around 2000, I watched Sailor Moon on Toonami on Cartoon Network, and that was how I discovered anime. And I was a big fan of Sailor Moon, and that led me to find out more about anime, about shoujo, about magical girls, about all sorts of anime-related things and manga-related things. So I have acquired a lot of knowledge about anime, and I've seen many series, and I've read many manga as well. I hope to share this knowledge with you in my segment. This is an introductory segment. I'm not going to be showcasing any series in this particular episode, but for the next episode, I'm going to be covering the 1979 shoujo historical anime Rose of Versailles by Ikeda Ryoko. Please look forward to that. This is my first time doing a podcast, so please bear with me, and if I make any doinky mistakes, please forgive me. So the theme music for this segment is by my friend Enoch Lau, and it's called The Impression of Percussionist Doinks. Please send any feedback to doinkies@gmail.com or go to my live journal at doinkies.livejournal.com. Thank you to Ninja Consultant for putting this segment on their show. Stay doinky!
And that's Doink Chan's segment, and we're still really looking forward to her review, so get that into us right away, Doink Chan. Alright, so I guess we'll start off with the email and then do the voicemail next.
I guess so.
So Daniel Nesbitt, one of our number one listeners, writes in, "Hey Ninja Consultants, this is Daniel and my birthday is August 6th. Yay, with like 12 Ys. I wanted to see if you guys would answer some questions I have. Number one, why don't you guys have a MySpace? Now I answered him and we took a poll once asking should we have a MySpace or is MySpace just for teenagers? And the answer was overwhelmingly no, we do not need that MySpace page.
Which is good.
Yeah, MySpace is basically a travesty of webpage design. I don't understand why anyone uses it. I mean, we had to go through the Friendster thing a couple years ago, but now there's MySpace and it's like the next big thing. No, we're too old to use MySpace. Number two, do you guys have a DeviantArt account? The answer is yes, I recently made one. Our name is Ninja Consultant on DeviantArt, so you can all friend us or whatever it is you people
do. When did
that
happen?
I was doing the Vash Inu Cho art.
Yeah.
And I tried to get more submissions by making a thing on DeviantArt.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Nobody really responded. And speaking of the Vash Inu Cho project, which if you don't remember was the spur of the moment thing about Vash and Inuyasha riding a chocobo that would be the most popular piece of fan art ever created, I did pull together a bunch of submissions at the last minute for Otakon, and I was selling the books for like $1, and I'll have to put up a thing with this like a PDF so you can download your own copy and print it out for inspiration. But after I did that, some guy who's like a legitimate comic book guy submitted an even greater one where they're riding the chocobo and they're on Namek. So it's probably the best
piece of fan art that's been submitted.
It's the best one so far. I also completed my Anime World Order fan art, and that will be up on the DeviantArt account soon enough. Daniel's next question, which is better, ADV or Tokyopop? Now, I think, in terms of this, like, both ADV and Tokyopop released anime, if you count Tokyopop's horrible Initial D DVD releases. I think it might not be horrible, I just don't watch Initial D, so I don't really know. ADV manga, they actually have really good titles, but it's my understanding they don't put them out on a decent production release schedule from listening to multiple episodes of the manga cast. Tokyopop releases things more often, but the quality of titles they've been acquiring has really been going down since Del Rey got into the market, and Del Rey has a corporate... has a company that owns the parent company of Random House. There's a branch in Japan, so they have this giant, they have a lead on the manga market. So with companies like Del Rey and Viz, whose parent corporations have Japanese companies anyway, it gives them a big head start on licensing very expensive titles that Tokyopop just doesn't have access to. So though Tokyopop was once the leader in the manga industry, and they do have the majority of titles on the market as far as I can tell, like, Tokyopop doesn't always translate their sound effects, and that always really bugs me. So Tokyopop used to be number one, and now it's really not. Actually, I don't prefer either of these when it comes to manga. I prefer Del Rey. They usually pick really good titles, except for in the case of Pastel, which is actually a quality title of a genre I don't like, and Negima, which again, quality title of a genre I don't like.
But Tokyopop is on the banned list because they turned down Aaron and Allison for the Rising Stars of Manga contest.
I think the one guy who submitted the Dash and Cho art last, yeah, he was like, oh yeah, all my friends have stuff that won in that. And I was like,
great.
Haha, good for you.
Well,
that's not why. I read a lot of manga, and now I have my favorite publishers. Actually, Viz publishers like all of my favorite titles. Like, even really indie ones. And Dark Horse is a good label as well. So we're going to say neither ADV nor Tokyopop. What is the most interesting con you guys have been to?
that we've been to together?
I don't know either. Probably Otakon, because just weird stuff happens there. And I've been to Otakon the most times of any con I've been to.
I don't know.
But the collective...
I'd say that the most interesting con I've been to was Akon 7, okay. When the lights went out.
Yeah. Are you ever going to tell that story?
No. Yes, I will tell the story, but not
to you. Oh, weren't we going
to
get...
You.
We were going to get Paul on the phone, because he was there too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
We can have the Akon 7 memorial episode. Was it even Akon? Was it Akon? Yeah, it was Akon 7.
Okay.
I have the t-shirt.
Number 5, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I think my answer in email was a protozoa.
I say moo.
Moo? Okay. If you answer these questions, that is great, and shows how much free time you guys have on your hands. So since he asked us this on July 31st, and we are answering it on September
7th.
7th, I think it shows how much free time we don't have on our hands.
Happy birthday, Daniel!
Yeah, sorry we didn't.
Happy birthday!
A month ago.
Sorry about that.
Next one, also from Daniel. Review our podcast, please! Hello, fellow ninjas, this is Daniel, aka Squeegee.
And you I just wanted, got one.
What? This is from August 24th.
All right, go.
A month late. He's only emailing us once a month. And I wanted to know if you could please review our podcast, the iGame Podcast. It's not the best podcast, but we wanted you to review it and put it on your website. We have some listeners from DeviantArt. The sound quality sucks because all the episodes are recorded on my phone because I've yet to find a decent voice recorder program. We will be making a live journal, but until then, subscribe to us and give us the iTunes link or go to gcast.com/u/iGamePodcast/main. I'll put the link in the show notes. And our new episodes coming soon. We plan to have better sound quality, more segments, more game, manga, and anime reviews. We won't be having episodes for a while. Our promotion purposes, please put this in your show. Thank you. So I listened to a couple episodes of the iGame Podcast, and it's a bunch of 5th through 7th graders talking on, apparently, a cell phone about video games.
So if that's the kind of thing you
it's
like,
it's kind of cute, but
that's the thing for you.
The saving grace is that it's only about 5 to 14 minutes long per episode, so it's really short. It's pretty good for short attention spans. They sound like rich kids. And then they ask for donations. So it's like, we're rich kids talking on our cell phone, recording on our personal computers, and we're taking flights to other states all the time, but can you give us some money so we can buy some video games?
No.
I guess it's a fair question.
You gotta ask.
I guess so. All right. Eriday sends us a useful list about Manga Next, which is very cute. And she says, Hi, I'm where you were going. I just had no idea what to call the topic of the email. My dad is coming with me and my friends. Not sure. Oh, so could you two try not to curse at all when he's around? Or give him your card? I don't know if that would just be putting it out there. Also, a few days ago, I started listing things in my head. It's a combination of my friends and myself. No, I'm not trying to be cool, like that other guy who sent you his list, and I don't think this will even get into a podcast, so yeah.
Well, here it is anyway.
Oh, but the other guy didn't send us his list. I read it. It was something from a mailing list from, like, the previous year. Some of these things are useful. Number one, white and wet trees don't mix well. Eric just got back from camp, so he gets some camp-related tips. Number two, if you guys are going to a party and wearing black, don't let your dog fall asleep on you. Chances are you will not be able to change. Three, guys and girls are idiots. Four, if someone states that Sasuke is gay or emo and you don't agree, just don't say anything. Your life will be much nicer.
I can't follow that tip.
That is
I gotta say something.
You have to say that Sasuke is gay.
I can't help it. No, if I don't agree.
Well, Orochimaru is gay and Sasuke is just the unfortunate heterosexual target of his love.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're right.
Next.
Okay. Number five, Hitake Kakashi is the most taboo topic you could talk about, so don't. I know that's true around certain friends of mine. Number six, never ever tell anyone what you think of Sakura or the English dub of Naruto if it's positive. And I'm going to say, yeah, I can see where if you're a high school student and you're hanging out with other high school students and you're talking about Naruto and you're like, I don't think the English dub is so bad, and the other high school students are hardcore anime fans or even kind of casual anime fans and not older people, they're going to lambast you until the end of time, being like, you have no taste, you think that's okay? Really, the Naruto dub is not actually that bad.
Like, you're not supposed to say that.
I know, but I'm not in a group of high school students. I think it's okay for older people to be like, you know, I remember bad dubs.
Yeah, I do remember bad dubs.
That's that guy on the Anime World Order show this week, which
what?
Will be like...
Dave Merrill?
Ago. No, something that starts with M. Merrill. Oh.
Dave Merrill.
Where he did, like, bad American dubbing.
Yeah,
one,
he
two,
was one of the Corn Poem guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually know him, kind
you
of.
You can find bad American dubbing on YouTube, and you can see real bad American dubbing.
Yeah. Or I should say, yeah!
Number seven. Don't eat beans before going to the movies. These are number of horrible things. Number 8, gay is not a verb. Number 9, pie is a great topic changer. Be warned, you will get odd stares. Number 10, when talking to someone, always, always use complete sentences, whether it be in real life or on AIM, on Instant Messenger.
I disagree.
Number 11, snowdrifts may look solid, but air not. I think she used the wrong word for air. Number 12.
I think, no, go back.
Okay.
That's not, it's supposed to be snowdrifts may look solid, but they're not.
Air, oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah, okay, go on.
Number 12, don't get into an argument about ninjas, pirates, or wizards. You will not win.
I will win.
There are no winners in that argument. There are only losers.
That's not true.
Losers. Because only nerds would argue about all three of those things.
Ninjas versus pirates, there can be no winner. But when you introduce wizards into the mix, suddenly...
Can you multi-class?
You're better off.
So you're now all losers. All right.
It depends on whether or not you're a demi-human.
Number 13, never get a crush on a younger, older brother, sister of your best friend.
Done. Aaron has a story about this, though.
I do. So
embarrass all your friends back
here's
home.
Useful advice for all of you who are very young. No, my friend who this happens to does not listen to this show. When my best friend was in 9th grade, she had another best friend who was not me, who had an older brother who was a senior in high school when we were freshmen. And so my best friend was like, she wanted to date her friend's brother. She liked him a lot, and she did. She ended up going out with him for like 2.5 years. But it meant that she totally lost her friendship with her other friend, because nobody wants to hear about how you just made out with their brother and like the gory details. Like, seriously, those are things you might talk about with your best friends in high school, but not if your boyfriend is their sibling. That's not cool. And then it also
meant... Wait, when you want to hear about it if I made out with your brother?
I think Clarissa would want to hear about it.
What if Clarissa made out with your brother?
Dubious. Anyway, the point of this story...
What about your mom? You think she'd want to hear about that?
She doesn't want to hear about any of this.
No, she sure doesn't.
As per her response to last show, but...
Yeah. We should read her mail.
So then when you're dating your best friend's brother and you're in high school, the drawback is that you can't just go over to your friend's house anymore like you used to and stay until all hours of the night, because now your parents will say you're going to a boy's house. If you're going to a boy's house, to your boyfriend's house, it's different. Different rules start applying. Or like, you might go over there and your friend to see your friend, and your friend is like, you're not really here to see me, you're here to see my brother. Which is probably true. So don't, like, you might want to avoid that if you really value your friendship or whatever, and most crushes go away after a few days. But if not, you know, maybe it's worth it. Whatever. Maybe your friend's really cool. Maybe she can handle it. But I know that my boss at work ended up marrying his best friend's sister, but it was like, they got together after high school, like, much later in college. She would come home for a summer break, and no one else was around, so he'd hang out with his best friend and, like, his friend's sister. And after all, he's like, oh, never really thought about it. I guess I can go out with her. And now they're married.
Now?
What?
Divorced.
What? They have a kid. No, they're not divorced. Number 14. You are not going to find love at 15, so don't try.
I disagree. I think that you might.
You find a very different kind of love at 15.
But it's still an important thing to do.
Yeah, if you try and fail, you've still learned something.
And you never know. I mean, it's important not to repress yourself.
There are some people who get together in high school who are still together.
Yeah.
It's just the odds are giantly
different. We call these people lucky. Yes, we hate these people.
Well, it's not that lucky. They had to, like, weather college together, you know?
Hey, we're talking anime, kids.
Number 15, your parents do in fact own your soul. I don't think so unless you've sold it to them.
False.
16, don't claim you're goth when wearing preppy... Don't claim that you are goth when you are wearing preppy clothing. Well, this is spelled the wrong version of your, and preppy is spelled preppy. You will be punched in the face, is the conclusion there. Yeah, you will. You shouldn't wear... If you're wearing khakis and you're like, I'm totally goth, unless those khakis are black, you will get punched. If you live in Jersey, because they're hardcore there.
Can we go back to your parents own your soul?
What? Only if you're goth. What?
Your parents don't own your soul.
Okay.
Next.
You better hope not. that was 16. And yeah, that's about it. My friend is laughing over my shoulder. I'm guessing it's funny. Anyway, good luck with your jobs, and see you in a few months. Lord, give me manga. Hi, my name's Owen. I'm 14 years old. I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, but have never written in. The first manga I got was King of Hell. But after reading the first volume, I did not read any more manga for about 3 or 4 years. I don't really watch much anime, but I'm starting to watch more through YouTube, but I'm starting to read more manga. I'm currently reading Naruto, Bleach, and Fullmetal Alchemist, but I'm planning on buying the first volume of Sergeant Frog, The Wallflower, and Karate High School in One Piece. Any good titles I can check out? Love the podcast. Everything else I've listened to is crap. Bye, Owen. P.S. Please get back to me with suggestions. So anyway, what I suggested to him, based on what he likes already, which is mostly Shonen Jump stuff, I don't think he would like Wallflower, actually, but whatever, maybe he will. I suggested he start reading Ironwalk John, because it's hilarious. I think it's appropriate for all ages. I think 14-year-old get a lot out of it. It's ridiculous. It's funny. I also suggested that he check out more classy stuff like Death Note, Monster, and Dragonhead. Dragonhead might be too scary.
Dragonhead?
He's 14. Probably handle it. It's too scary for me to read, but I'm like, but if you're 14, you should.
It depends
on
how metal you are.
It's suspense and not horror, apparently. But it sounds pretty cool to me.
If you're effing metal, then
it's not really metal.
It's called Dragonhead, dude.
Yeah, but it doesn't actually have a dragon in it. It's about a train filled with school children on their class trip, and they go through a tunnel, and it collapses. Then everything is dark, everyone is injured, and there's a very long period of time where nobody speaks, and apparently in the first moment when the protagonist hears another human voice, and he realizes someone else from the train is still alive, it's like a really shocking, suspenseful moment.
Huh.
It's supposed to be really classy and
sounds
good.
Sounds pretty good.
It sounds way too scary for me to read because I don't like disaster films. Okay, someone on our live journal commented, okay, I'm trying to comment so hard on Neutral Live Journal, but I can't email you guys because it's failing. Okay, finally, I pray this is going to actually reach you. Anyways, I'm Logan. I love your podcast. You guys are amazing. You're not gods, though, lol.
Lols.
Anyways, you're awesome, and you're right about everything. Like, every show you guys have ever said is good. I've loved them. The ones you've said I don't like, I didn't like. So, yeah, tell me what anime is. That's like an apostrophe S. You like... because apparently we have the same taste in anime. The point of this is that we're always right. There is one thing. What's up with Akira? I don't understand it. I hated that movie, but everyone says it's great. I just don't get it. Anyways, would love a mention on your podcast, but I'm sure everyone else asked that. But hey, that's it. I'll comment you guys later on. Oh yeah, what's some good anime cause coming around... Wait, what's some good anime cons coming around the Nashville area? Because there are none that I can find. I think I replied to this comment, and I looked it up to see what cons there were in Tennessee, and there is only one con in Tennessee, and it is the Mid-Tennessee Con or something. You go to anime-cons.com, has all the con information by region, in the past, in the future, how many people attend, whatever.
Plus a con whore t-shirt.
And a con whore t-shirt, and Patrick D. runs it. But that's where, whenever anyone's like, there's no cons in my area, I always check to be like, let's find out if there are really no cons in your area.
Nope, no cons. Too bad.
It's embarrassing when there are like four, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, are you a liar or whatever? Although when Irish people write in, they're like, there are no cons in my area, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. Next con is in England or something.
Speaking of which, is Ypres in there?
Ypres from Ypres Choice sent us two boxes of Irish cookies, and my request was something with my name on it, which is Aaron, which means Ireland in Gaelic. So he sent me, like, this little spice packet for pasta, which is Aaron Brand, which is ridiculous, but pretty good.
And delicious.
And I requested a graphic novel written entirely in Gaelic, so he sent a really interesting one, and the translation is available online.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It's a Cú Chulainn story. I probably mispronounced that. I was hoping that there would be some awesome spear kicking in there, but I didn't see any. Maybe it's lost in translation, where it's like, when we read the translation, it'll say, I am now going to kick my spear, and it's just not in, you know, the illustration. But anyway, that's super awesome. Thank you so much.
From Jeremy. Hi, Aaron and Noah. I've been listening to your podcast for 9 months, and I really enjoy your opinions and reviews. I've been cleaning my house lately, and I have a whole box of manga I'd like to donate to you guys. eBay is too much of a hassle to get rid of things, so I'd rather give it to someone who may be able to use them. All the titles are mint and read once, if at all. I won't guarantee the quality of the manga, but you may find some you like in the pile. Use them for reviews, personal collections, or contests if you like. If you want them, just let me know where to send. Thanks again for a great podcast, Jeremy. So, Jeremy, after this, that was like July 17th, he eventually sent us a giant box of manga with some things I'd read and some things I hadn't read and some things I'm looking forward to reading, but added to the tremendous backlog of things I now have to read thanks to Digital Manga and DR Masker sending me basically full runs of their stuff.
And the tremendous backlog of things I have to step on in the house.
I've now shelved them.
Yes, you've shelved most of them.
Whatever. So thank you very much, Jeremy, and we will at some point start giving things away in contests. Actually, that reminds me, I have a pile of stuff sitting right behind me that I am going to start giving away in podcasts, and it'll be like this. I'll say, the first person to email me saying I want this gets whatever it is that I describe on the show. And so, like, and for free, whatever. So, the only rule being, like, you can't win twice within a certain number of months or whatever if we run out of winners. I will keep track, so you can't just keep getting things over and over. And you have to actually say what it is that I'm giving away. So you can't, like, see that we posted a new show on LiveJournal and be like, I want it. No, you have to listen to the show and repeat to me what the item was within some vague parameter, and I will send whoever wants it first. So I'm going to reach into the bag. It's very exciting. And for the first giveaway object.
You're doing this now?
Yes.
All right, do it.
All right, crap. It's something I bought at Otakon that turned out not to be very good. It's one of the Renge Murata robot figures that's like the, you don't know which one you're going to get in the box. I got the crappiest one. It is a maid who is vacuuming, and she's not even very sexy. So if you would like a vacuuming maid from the Renge Murata series, from the book, from the robot graphic novel. Actually, I think it's like a mop. Drop an email. First person who emails me saying they want it.
Totally deserves it.
You just send me your address. Next.
Next.
Grandpa Mike. Who, hello there, Aaron and Noah.
I really wanted to respond to this, and
now's your chance.
Just not. Yeah. Go ahead.
Grandpa Mike here. Congratulations on getting the Miyazaki capsule lecture in there. Noah had mentioned the desire to do such a thing and emailed to me, and I'm happy that he did it without my nagging. I don't think it got too nasty, but it certainly didn't pull any punches. Yay, go Porco Rosso. Man, the early reviews of Miyazaki Jr.'s movies are so bad. Hey, our friend Hal just watched that movie.
Yeah, we heard that it's actually
and he said it was awesome.
The best movie of 2006.
Which for Hal, that might mean it falls within certain parameters, which might not make it good to other people.
However, it means
like
it's probably worth
watching.
Like a girl
with the consumption or something.
Yes.
And another number of other
girl
things
with tuberculosis.
I won't name on the show. All right. Meanwhile, Satoshi Kon has a new feature, Paprika, based on a pretty serious Japanese sci-fi novel. Yay, right there. Said feature will have U.S. theatrical release in March, 7 months away. I'm really excited about this. I've read about it in magazines and stuff. Awesome. Alright. Another tidbit. I cheered your plug for Oniyamas before. On YouTube, I've seen the early Gainax Daikon movies, and they really do add a lot of background context for such things as FLCL. I recall from podcast that Noah had these Daikon films on VHS, so I know that's all but old news. That's all old news to him. But how about Route 20, Galactic Airport? This was supposed to be Gainax's second film, but wasn't made because Oniyamas was such a financial bomb, and thanks to YouTube, I've seen the pilot film.
Never seen it.
Right? Yeah,
never seen it. Need to see it. Gonna watch it.
Remember how slick the pilot film for Oniyamas was? I haven't seen the pilot film for Oniyamas. No wonder it drew so much financial backing. The Route 20 pilot film is, on first viewing, like a weak AMV using stills and crude drawings, all set to a song by The Doors, a band I don't like. It is also looking somewhat like Akira, which I hate. But it ends up being quite haunting, and a third viewing really makes me wonder about an alternate Gainax timeline where the film was made. Could it have possibly been as big as Evangelion was, without Eva's production problems, many steaming from the rigors of work for TV? And the other quirks? Anyway, a dream that didn't materialize offers a glimpse into the minds of the time, the process of production, and the yawning abyss of life after failure.
Mm.
It's kind of a miracle that Gainax did anything else at all.
Living that life right now.
Like the relentless fan abuse. While I enjoyed Gainax's Otaku movie, the viewer jerking around in the... just the first four episodes of Evo really irritates me, so much so that I switch it off. It is on the... Where am I starting to lose my voice?
You want me to take over here?
Yes. Just start from that is to say, the viewer context.
All right. Since I'm going to be the one responding to this anyway, I'll take over here. That is to say, the viewer context is brutally manipulated to be out of phase with the character context. For example, the teen hero has a photo of a 20-some babe with sexually suggestive scroll on the photo. This babe picks him up in her sporty car, etc., etc. It seems sexual, since that is all the context that the viewers have. Yet through clumsy backpedaling, we find out that she is a quasi-elder sister to him, and he knows it, and she knows it, and it is only the pervy viewers who thought otherwise, because all viewers are perverts. This is the opposite of those comedies where convoluted plots establish that something is really innocent until viewed by an outside character who mistakenly thinks the situation is perverted. Nay? That's the tension release of the comedy. I think that this is, it's a very interesting point, although... in Eva, where there's so much sexual frustration in the subtext, and it seems, from the first four episodes perhaps, that you're just getting jerked around, but it's actually, I think, very much to the point of Eva, which is Shinji, not just Shinji, it turns out later, but certainly at the beginning, Shinji has sex on the brain, and he's sexually repressed, and it leaks out into every part of his life. And one of the reasons why he's so miserable is because he hasn't found a way to properly engage his sexual identity. And indeed, throughout Eva. Mm-hmm. He's trying.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't work. It doesn't work out that well for him. I don't know if you'd want to give it another shot ever, Michael. There's a lot of really good stuff, I think, in Eva. And since apparently a lot of other podcasts are kind of down on it, possibly just because there's been so much discussion over it that that's just the normal backlash that's to be expected, I completely appreciate what you're getting at. And it's the bait and switch that's like when you see, I'm thinking of a particular film, I can't remember what the title is, but one of the first scenes is this guy who's hacking something up in a tool shed, and you can't see his face, and he's got this giant axe, and he's chopping, and malevolent music is playing in the background, and the credits finish, and he brings in all this stuff that he's got bundled up in his arms, and he walks into the house, and there's a cut, and you see it's just some guy, and he's like, "Hi, honey, what's for dinner?" And there's supposed to be a tension that's established there that's then released in a fake way. There's something that's supposed to happen there that doesn't. Like, why are we being manipulated in this fashion? Back to the email. I like their criticism, this being of Gainax, I like their criticism of fandom to be a bit more sophisticated, as in Furikuri. He says, "I cannot watch Eva myself. Mine is a love-hate." That's all for now. Keep up the good work. Well, we're trying. Maybe we're kind of phoning this one in, but all right, moving on.
Yep.
When it was released in 2002, people were outraged. A new low. A plunge into depravity. A sad commentary on our degenerating culture. A disgusting, repulsive, grotesque spectacle. Unfortunately for them.
iGame Podcast is back. We are about to input MP3s into your subconscious mind. If you do not listen, your brain shall explode. iGame, your game, iGame Podcast. Listen or die, iGame Podcast. What do you have to say, Danny?
Listen to the iGame Podcast, or a strange man in a sweater, he will come to your door and shoot.
With beer heads. And then a singing fish will sing to you, and you'll eat chocolate pretzels. The iGame Podcast. Reviewing games, anime, manga, and Mel Gibson's alcoholic and drug abuse, aka entertainment. Listen, or we'll make your kidneys explode.
You can find the iGame Podcast on the iTunes library. You can search iGame Podcast. The artist is Daniel Antanis. Please subscribe and comment and tell us what you think about our podcast.
From Jenny, hello, fellow podcast fan. Hi, my name's Jen, and I've been really into your podcast for the last 2 weeks. I've pretty much listened to all the episodes and can't wait for new ones to come out. I'm not as anime-obsessed like most anime lovers, but I listen to your show because you guys are such an interesting couple. Yep, you guys are really great. You hear that? Someone thinks we're great.
Of course. Uh-huh. Lots of people think we're great.
Anyway, most of my friends don't watch anime. Wait, essentially none of them do, if you don't count Yu-Gi-Oh! Or something. And when I talk about it, I feel like I'm being judged by them. What I don't get is this. Why is it uncool to watch anime? I personally think anime is just a cartoon that's for an older audience. Somehow, it's cute to watch Arthur or Winnie the Pooh when you're 16, but anime, oh no! You're immediately labeled as an unsocial freak who just reads cartoons all day and draws girls with abnormally large eyes, flurry ears, and frilly costumes. Sure, I've had my moments where I've done that, but still... This is because anime just looks immature. Oh, I'm sorry, she asks, is this because anime just looks immature, or is it just a rule in high school that if you read anime, it means you're a freak? Anyway, sorry for the rant. I hope you answer this in your podcast, or maybe take the time to email me back. That would be really great. I love your fandom sections on your podcast. I loved every one of the episodes that you've had someone recorded and talked about their experiences with anime cons and such. My favorite one was the first couple you did with Kakashi, which we know you're not supposed to bring up because that's the most controversial topic.
Oh, right. We might have him on again later to talk about the Naruto filler arcs because he reads Japanese blogs and he can explain a couple of things.
He can explain all the jokes that would be a good show.
Yeah, oh, I know. I just have to remember to email him.
I'm glad you know.
Right.
I hope you can bring him in again and interview him or something.
Oh.
Anyway, that's it. Thanks for reading this very long email. Oops, it is kind of long and boring. Oh well. Lots of love, Jen.
I think you should read all of the 16-year-old girl emails from now on.
Should I do it in my regular voice or in my 16-year-old girl voice?
Regular voice. Or read it like in your Marty voice.
My Marty voice? She says, please do not give out my email because it has my full name in it. Thanks. Marty is a fellow from Brooklyn who I worked for during college. She has a very thick Brooklyn accent.
I'll tell her about it. So yeah. The trick is, don't ever talk to your non-nerd friends about anime unless they ask. And even if they ask, only give them tiny, limited amounts of information, and only suggest certain films to them that non-anime fans would like. Only make them watch Miyazaki's works, that's safe, or Cowboy Bebop, safe. Don't ever try and push someone into anime fandom. If they come to you and they ask, I kind of like this thing, what else you got? Then show them. But it's important not to scare the noobs. And there are some classy films like Millennium Actress or whatever that you can show to like people who are appreciative of foreign films and art films, and they'll like it, but they might want to watch just that and then not really anything else. They're not going to sit down and watch a series with you because they're just the very, very casual hipster anime fans. But I think if your friends look at you like you're a freak when you start talking about anime, it's a problem if you're in high school because you can't stop. Like how I couldn't stop quoting The Simpsons from the time I was 15 to the time I was 17. And every time I opened my mouth, people were like, are you going to say like that Simpsons episode where... Till eventually I just dropped saying that it was from The Simpsons and just said things. But then I feel like a plagiarist because if you get a laugh from a joke that someone else wrote, I just feel kind of bad. Anyway, the point of it being, you need to find new friends and fast. There's no hope for the ones who are looking at you like a freak. Instead, you need to meet other people who also like watching anime. And they might not be people who you'd normally want to hang out with. They might be freaks. But it's important to get a foothold. Also, there's the other tactic where don't worry about it. When you go to college, there'll be a college anime club. Like, inevitably.
Well, that's probably true, and you have the entire internet at your disposal. But I don't know to what extent I can concur with this advice exactly. Although, have to kind of... Well, get new friends, like, that's... often a good piece of advice. Like, seriously.
Just always make new friends. That's a good tactic. To like continually to keep meeting people and keep making friends with people because you never know when a bunch of your friends are going to move away or go to a different school than you.
Or you might do something
you piss
really
them all
horrible.
Off, or you break up with your friend's
sudden,
brother.
Yeah,
and
you have no friends to go back to.
Right.
It's good to have other friends.
Other
to keep
friends
around.
In other areas who aren't friends with your current friends, just in case.
Right.
Just in case something happens. Friends who go to other schools, maybe.
Yeah. Just in case, you know. I don't know what the stigma is in this particular school. Like, I what I'm struck by is, I guess, her friends are watching Arthur and Winnie the Pooh.
Ironically.
Possibly. I don't know. At 16?
No,
they're not going to be watching it earnestly, necessarily, but you might.
Yeah, well, like, the first time I went to a big university and there was a table of people nearby who started kind of laughing like, haha, have you seen that Teletubbies show? And everyone's like, haha, yeah, that sucks. But after a while, it became apparent that all of them had watched multiple episodes of Teletubbies, and now they were just discussing it. And this is not like a show they've been watching since they were two. This is like right after it came out.
Right.
So it was clearly like they're watching a show intended for preschoolers to make fun of it or to just stare at it in awe. Or in the case of Teletubbies, you really can't look away because it's frightening.
So the truth is, we are nearly in our 30s and are probably not the right people to ask about what is cool in high school these days. All I know is I was never cool. I always watched anime, and it worked out kind of okay for me.
I rushed home every day after school to watch Sailor Moon, which was on at like 2:30 or something, so I could just barely make the beginning of the episode if I didn't have any sports practice. And then I painted Saturn. I painted Sailor Saturn on a ceiling tile for the art room when we all got to paint ceiling tiles. Now that I think about it, it's pretty ridiculous.
And you were laughing.
I was like,
here
was my permanent mark for the... No, everyone already knew I was a freak and a nerd. Like, it didn't really matter. Like, that's the other thing. The trick is, don't care what people think about you. Because if you don't care, that makes you cool.
Yeah, well, if you can do that, you're way ahead of me.
It's true.
Less said about that, the better. Moving on.